Psalm 100. I appreciate those faithful men who were not involved in it, but there were only a few. Only a few. Psalm 100 this morning, verse number 5. I'm going to just jump around a little bit here at the very beginning, but I have a message that I believe the Lord has given me this morning. It can be a real help to you, and it's been a real help to me in studying this out. Psalm 100, verse number 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." I'm going to preach this morning on the subject of mercy and truth, mercy and truth. And we'll combine these two and see what we can apply to our lives from this. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word as I've already done, and especially to try to be a help to some young people here this morning. And Lord, we just thank you that we have the truth. We have it in our possession. Most have it in their hands. Or in their lap even now. And we just thank you, God, that you have allowed us to have your word. We do pray for Christians around the world that right now are being persecuted for having the truth. And we pray that you watch over them and, Lord, allow the gospel to be spread freely in those countries, continue to be spread freely around the world. Please help us now, and we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 115. I'm going to jump around a little bit, some passages. Psalm 115, verse 1. The Bible says there, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory." Don't give glory to us. Give the glory to your name. And then it says, "For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." So, the glory of God, part of the glory of God, is in the fact that He has these two attributes of mercy and truth. Now, I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you which attributes of God are the greatest attributes. Okay, there's many, many great attributes of God, and certainly mercy and truth are at the top of the list. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." Mercy and truth. John 3:16. Turn over there. I know you know John 3:16, but we're going to read more than just John 3:16. Let me give you an illustration here of the mercy and truth of God. John chapter 3, starting in verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I see there in those verses, I see the mercy of God. He sent His Son to die for us. He gave us salvation. He loved us, and I'm so thankful for the mercy of God, and we'll see that that mercy is a loving mercy. It's not just a random luck of the draw type mercy. It's a loving mercy. It's a loyal mercy, and God shows us His mercy, but He also shows us the truth. Look at the next verse. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Listen, they're afraid to come to the light because they're going to be shown for what they really are, the truth. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." This morning, as I talk about this idea of mercy and truth, I hope that you in truth will do what verse 21 says. Come to the light that your deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Mercy and truth. Let's define the two terms. Mercy. The dictionary definition, one says that mercy is compassion or forbearance. It's shown by one to another, especially an offender who is in his power and has no claim to kindness. So a person standing before a judge, and the judge, for some unknown reason, shows mercy to that person who is obviously guilty. A person sitting in a car, and there's a light with a car with Christmas lights on top of it behind him, and they're going around and flashing, and you're just sitting there praying for what? Not justice. You're praying for mercy. Oh, I hope he just gives me a warning. That's mercy, but mercy goes much deeper than that. The word mercy in the Hebrew has more the idea of a sense of commitment. It's not just leniency to a lucky criminal, but it literally means a loyal love or an unfailing love. God has mercy on us. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God in your life? God shows us his mercy. We don't get what we deserve. I don't get what I deserve. I deserve to have hell as my future. I deserve to have a miserable life. Many things I've done, I'm pretty ashamed of. I don't deserve the good things I have. And God in his mercy has given me many, many good things that I don't deserve. I hope you're like that this morning. I think we all are. Micah 7:18. I've been so impressed with this verse, and I've thought about this, and I know I've said this in a number of my classes, at least part of the quote, maybe not read it. Micah 7:18, the context is great also, but it says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Now, remember Micah, he lives during the time of the kings, and of course it's his writings, Micah chapter 5, where it predicted the coming of Christ at Bethlehem. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He sees the iniquity, God sees the transgression, and he chooses to pass by that. Kind of like the road to Jericho and the Good Samaritan. The others passed by and ignored. They looked the other way. God is going to walk by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Of course, it's not just that simple, but he retaineth not his anger forever because he, here it is, delighteth in mercy. God, our God, delights in mercy. Ask the people of Nineveh. They love the mercy that God showed them. Jonah said, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. What a good message he had. One of judgment, and the Lord said, no, I'm looking for mercy. And Jonah said, I knew it. I knew he was going to show them mercy. He knew God all too well. Aren't you glad for that this morning? When we can know that God will show us the mercy. That's the mercy of God. What a blessing, what a glorious thing it is. Truth. What is truth? Have you heard the phrase, the truth hurts? Well, that's true sometimes. Sometimes if you're, let's assume here that I was really strong and really ripped and my physique was unbelievable. Let's assume that. And that it would be the truth. I wouldn't be ashamed of that. I mean, it would hurt in a different way. I'd be sore, from all the working out maybe. But the truth wouldn't hurt there. I'd be kind of happy to talk about weightlifting and all those things. If I was good at wrestling or whatever, you can talk about those kind. The truth there doesn't hurt, but often the truth does hurt. Why? The truth hurts because it shows us what we really are. It shows us that we're not who we want others to see or what we want others to think we are. So sometimes the truth hurts a little bit. I don't like the truth from the Bible sometimes. The heart is deceitful. Thanks. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That's the truth. But I don't really like that because sometimes I like the excuse rather than the truth. You know, boy, this, if God only knew the sin that I'm going, having a struggle with. I mean, this sin is over the top. This is way too hard. He says it's common to man. Everybody goes through it, but he doesn't understand me. That's the truth. There is no temptation. What about Jesus spoke the truth to his disciples? He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And they probably went, oh my goodness. When he came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, they had been casting out devils. Remember that? And Jesus comes down and they could not cast out the devil. And Jesus said something to this effect. And he said, "This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And those disciples said, "Oh my goodness, are we ever going to get this thing down?" The truth hurts. What about when Jesus over and over said, "Ye scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," called them snakes. The truth hurts sometimes. Let's see here. I like my mirror. You know what a mirror does? A mirror shows you who you really are. I mean, when I look in the mirror, well, let me turn it this way because it's low. I can see more of myself. There's just a good picture there of a young man. I look so young. very few facial imperfections. Lots of hair. Nice curls. Really nice picture. I look, I can't believe how young I look. Unbelievable. Anybody want to see my beautiful, sharp-looking face, all the hair. Look at that. Man, it's amazing. I love it. You know, when I look in the mirror, if I put the wrong thing on the mirror, it doesn't show me who I really am. I think a lot of us, we do the same thing in our lives. We like to think that we actually look pretty good and we look a lot different than we really look. We're not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with God, who is the standard of truth. I better get that thing out of here. Well, that was me as a little kid, by the way. Lots of hair and lots of curls. Whew, long time ago. I think my little daughter now takes after my hairstyle the most, to be honest with you, my youngest one. But our God is the standard of truth. He is, of course, the Bible says his word is the mirror that we're supposed to look in. Hey, stop comparing yourself to somebody else. Stop comparing yourself to what you used to do or used to be. And compare yourself to what the Bible says you're supposed to be as a Christian. And be honest with yourself and honest with God, because that's the truth. Listen, God is the standard of truth. Imagine a kid who says, "I'm stronger than you are." Or an aunt walks around and he says, "I'm stronger," to his buddies. He says, "I'm stronger than you are." And here comes a foot, you know, about to step right on top of him. Listen, we like to kid ourselves and to tell us ourselves lies that we're actually better than we really are. We're more righteous than we realize, because the standard of truth, real truth, ultimately has to be God. And so there has to be that final authority. You can convince yourself all day long that you're a good Christian. You can convince yourself of many, many things. You can convince yourself that sin is okay. By the way, Pastor Cameron's sermon last night, pretty much I feel like I'm re-preaching that message. It has to do with sin. Dealing with sin in an honest way. Be truthful to that. You know what the Bible says? Thy word, John 17, thy word is truth. It is the final authority. Listen, the words of the Lord shall never pass away. Everything else will pass away. We live in an era now, don't we, of just lies, lies. Follow the science, they tell us. Science is supposed to be facts. So, you know, have you seen all the memes of all the different masks? You know, Dr. Fauci with 10 different masks on, you know. Follow the science. That's not true. We're living in lies. Climate change, we're living in lies. Listen, all of these things, if we're not careful as Christians even, we kind of get caught up in this world, and we have the only source of truth. By the way, do you realize that this is the only thing that you can read or look into that can be totally unfiltered? And what I mean by that is you don't have to read this and wonder. When you go through Facebook, you better have some discernment, right? You better say, that doesn't look right. Fake book, right? When you read the newspaper, when you read an article on the internet, when you watch something on TV, even a good movie, you always have to watch those things with some glasses on, some discernment, but not this. The more you know it, the more wise you become. The more you read it, the more you know about what is truth and what is not truth. I love the word that is truth. Turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. And I want to look at verse number 7. Exodus 34 and verse number 7. Here we see these two sides combined. By the way, Exodus 34... This is right after Moses had gone on top of the mountain. He had received the Ten Commandments. He comes back down from the mountain. He's all angry. Remember, he breaks the Ten Commandments on the ground and throws them down. He's furious with the children of Israel. God is furious with the children of Israel. The judgment of God fell. Thousands of people were killed, punished, and so on. And then we come to Exodus 34:7 when Moses comes back up on the mountain, and the Lord has by this time said, Moses, let's start over. The children of Israel are so wicked, and Moses has to ask the Lord for mercy for the children of Israel. Look at verse 6, actually. Here's the Lord standing again before Moses, and here's what he said. The Lord God. What's the first attribute that God shows here to Moses? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Oh, I love it. The mercy of God shown here. But then it switches a little bit right where I stopped. And that will by no means clear the guilty. It seems like he's saying the opposite. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation? What does that mean? I think very simply, God is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God. But if you don't admit the truth, his mercy doesn't apply to you. That's it. You've got to admit his mercy. The truth. You must admit the truth. The Lord here shows Moses that if God's going to reveal his mercy and show his mercy, then we have to be truthful with God. Let me point out some ways, and we'll look at a lot of examples here in Scripture and otherwise, that the mercy of God is dependent on us admitting the truth. Moses here learns that. Ahab, remember when Ahab and Jehoshaphat went to battle? And Ahab says, you know, we need a prophet of the Lord we need a prophet to tell us if we're going to be successful or not. And Jehoshaphat says, hey, let's get Micaiah. And Ahab says, I don't want to hear what he has to say. He always says bad things about me. And what did Ahab not like? He didn't like the truth. Look, you're going to war, you would think that you'd want to know the truth about what's going to happen, but not Ahab. He was so deceived, he'd rather hear a lie, and of course, he ended up dying at that battle. Ahab didn't want the truth, and he didn't get the mercy along with that. The thief on the cross, he was hanging there with another thief, And they're talking back and forth, and the one thief, the Bible says, is railing on Jesus and mocking him. If you be the Son of God, get us off this cross. And the repentant thief says, wait a second. This is God. This person is God, and we deserve what we're getting. He doesn't deserve what he's getting. What is he doing? He's admitting the truth. The truth is tied directly to mercy. And as the thief said the truth, he then turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He's asking for mercy. And Jesus turns to the thief and grants him the mercy he was looking for. Mercy and truth. Listen, if you're here today, we love mercy. We love to talk about how God is merciful to us. Listen, we want God to give us mercy in our, I've heard people talk about the grace of God as if we can do whatever we want because we live in this era of grace. Pastor Naaman mentioned this last night in his message. We can live under grace. I can do a lot more things than they used to be able to do in the Old Testament. Actually, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. Look at the passage, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. The Bible actually uses the word that we live under the law of grace. We live under a different law is all. We don't live under the law of the old covenant. We live under the law of grace. Listen, we still live under law. And of course, if you don't understand that, Romans 6, 1 says, if we continue in sin, shall grace abound? How shall grace abound? God forbid. Listen, grace doesn't mean you sin more. Admit the truth. Then you'll have mercy. Admit the truth. Mark chapter 9, there was a man who wanted his demon-possessed child to be healed. He comes to Jesus and he says, "My child has all these problems. Will you please give me mercy?" And Jesus said, "If you believe, then we can do this." And I love the honesty of the man. He said, Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. The honesty. Help mine unbelief. Oh, I believe. Help my unbelief. Listen, that's the truth and the mercy. And Jesus said he's healed. And he was that demon was cast out. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. Let's turn over there. Matthew chapter 15, a passage here where Jesus leaves Israel, goes up north to an area to the north of Israel, to a foreign nation actually, Tyre and Sidon. And there's a woman there who comes out, and she says in verse number 22, Matthew 15, 22, she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And Jesus ignored her. He answered her not a word. Even his disciples said, Jesus, you got to send her away. She's not one of us. She's not one of the children of Israel. She's a foreigner. And Jesus finally looks at this woman and he says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I only go to the children of Israel. Now, by the way, Jesus is not biased in that way. He's not prejudiced in that way to only go to Israel. But Jesus was trying to see if this woman would believe on him. And so he looks at her and he says, I only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then it gets worse. Then she came and worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. She's begging for mercy. And Jesus says, wow, this is hard to swallow. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I don't go to dogs. I don't feed the dogs. I only feed the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, that's some hard things to swallow. Well, no pun intended. That's tough. But you know what the bottom line is? She admitted the truth. Look at the next verse. She said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. This woman admitted that she wasn't one of the children of Israel. She admitted her law. She admitted that she was humble and a nobody. I don't deserve this. I know. But can I at least eat some crumbs off the table? And Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee. Listen, if you come to God humbly and asking for mercy, come in truth. Open yourself up. God, I know who I am. I know I'm not what I should be, but I'm coming to you begging for mercy. I'm convinced this is why David, even with all the huge mistakes and sins and problems that he had, he kept coming back to God and he just opened himself up, right? Psalm 51, he said, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts." And he opened himself up again. He sinned horribly. But he came to God and said, I'm wicked. Forgive me. Please heal me. And he confesses and opens. He just dumps out all of his sin before God. And God forgave him. Showed great mercy when we're truthful. How about Acts chapter 5? Don't turn there. But Ananias and Sapphira. There was Barnabas in the church at Jerusalem. What did Barnabas do? He sold his property, brings all the money to the church, and says, you know, the pastors, y'all split this up as the people have need. And everybody says, wow, man, that's pretty impressive. So Ananias and Sapphira got the same idea. So they went, they sold their property, but they didn't bring all the money. They brought some of the money and said it was all the money. So they're not being truthful. And the Bible says that they lied not unto men, but unto God. They weren't being truthful. And their lying, their dishonesty, their lack of being open and truthful before God literally cost them their lives. God doesn't show mercy when we're not truthful. Ananias and Sapphira. There's probably some in this room that think that you've done something that you're so ashamed of, that you're so embarrassed of, that you never want anybody to know about it. The truth is, God already knows what you've done. The truth is that God has seen everything that you've done. And I'm not saying you should go around and tell people. I'm not saying that. However, I do admire those like John Newton who say, hey, I was a wicked sinner. You don't have to go into all the details, but he says all the some of the things he had done, and he was a slave ship owner and so on. And he was truthful and honest. And, of course, we get amazing grace from that. And we admire a person who is honest and open, and he got mercy because of that. Listen, I'm asking you today, if there's something you're hiding, be honest before God. The mercy that God has for you is more than you'll ever think. You say, well, if I admit to something I've done, or if I give in and give it up and say what I've done, everybody's going to hate me. They're going to run me out of here. No. God's mercy is so great, but it requires truth. It requires a change. It requires repentance and true sorrow of heart. When you humbly admit the truth, then God's forgiveness is there, his mercy is there. Isn't that what 1 John chapter 1 is all about? Listen, he requires truth. He requires the light. That's the idea. And if we confess our sins, agree with God, admit that it's true, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He wants to show you mercy, but he can't if you're not honest and truthful before him. There are many people who are in hell right now because they thought they were better than others. There's many going to hell because they compare themselves to somebody else. You better admit the truth and ask God for his mercy. Admit the truth. You're a sinner. Some people gossip. They run their mouth. Listen, oh, I only gossip. I would never gossip about a lie. I would always tell the truth. Let me ask you this. Would you want somebody to tell everyone what all the true things are about you? I mean, I've done some pretty bad things. I don't want people to tell the true things I've done. I'm pretty ashamed of those things. Confess them to God and gotten taken care of with him. But listen, gossip, that repeating of sin and people's problems, that's not living truthfully, and you'll end up not receiving the mercy for that. There are things in your life you say, I can't fix it. I can't change this sin that I have. I've tried over and over and over again, and I've asked God to forgive me, and I've asked Him to help me. Oh, you need to learn who God really is. When you keep coming to God, listen, remember that loyalty, that loyal love that's shown in God's mercy? He's waiting for you to keep coming and keep coming. He wants you to get it right. Quit playing around with that sin. Oh, well, I asked God to help me with it. No, no, no. Are you seriously going after that sin and defeat that sin? That mercy of God will only be seen when you are honest with Him. You keep hiding and playing in the sin. Oh, well, eventually it'll go away. Maybe you're looking at things you shouldn't look at, and you say, well, someday when I get married, that sin will go away. No, it won't. It won't. That pornography, it's not going to go away. The married people look at that stuff all the time. Listen, that problem doesn't go away. You've got to get God's mercy to deal with that thing by admitting the truth. It's wicked. It's awful. It's horrible sin. It'll ruin your life. Your thoughts. You say, well, nobody sees my thought. This is only affecting me. It's not affecting others. This sin is only affecting me. You're not admitting the truth. You admit the truth, you'll see that that sin's affecting a whole bunch of other people, including yourself, including your future. Be honest with God. It's hurting Jesus. Be honest with God. Admit the truth. And then you'll receive that mercy of God. He has great mercy for you. Listen, every single one of these adults in our church, we all have things in our past that we're ashamed of. You might look at people and you say, wow, how are they still? Look, if you knew, you'd say, wow, you know what that is? That's God's mercy. God's mercy. Quit covering it up. And pretending that it's not there, pretending it's not as big of a deal as it really is. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And when Jesus did that, he gave those the bread and the grape juice. I'm calling it wine. The bread and the grape juice. And this was a memorial service. We just celebrated this last night. Paul, in his writings in 1 Corinthians, he says, in the middle of that scenario, he says, if you judge yourself, you should not be judged. You know what that is? That's admitting the truth. If you judge yourself, you look an inward look. Let every man examine himself. You look inward and you say, woo, boy, that's bad. You admit that to God and you judge that sin. Guess what? You'll not be judged by others. You'll have the mercy if you admit the truth. Admit the truth. I need God's mercy in my life. I need God's mercy in my family. I need God's mercy in my ministry. I'll only get that mercy if I seek after the truth. And here it is. If I go after the truth, if I read it, I study it, I apply it, I want God. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Seek after Him and deal with sin. Be open. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about getting into the Word. The Word will cut us up and it'll clean out all the sin and it'll open us up. The Bible says it'll make us naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He already sees everything that we do and everything that you think anyway. Admit it. Be honest with Him and then He'll grant you great mercy. Our God is thrilled with bringing us mercy. He's waiting on our honesty. A king went on a galley ship, saw all those disgusting slaves and criminals, all filthy, sitting there at their positions. He walked along holding his nose. He saw an individual. He wanted to show mercy to somebody. He saw an individual. Asked the person what he'd done to deserve to be there. And of course, the person started making all kinds of, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. It was somebody framed me. It was somebody else's fault. person denying that anything he had done wrong. Almost immediately, others around the ship began to speak up the same way. We didn't do anything. I didn't do a thing. I was just minding my own business, doing nothing. Of course, you walk through a prison and they're going to say the same things. I didn't do anything. Everybody declares their own innocence. Finally, he saw one who wasn't looking up. He had his head down. He was just obviously in thought. King almost walked past him, then decided to ask the man, "Why are you here on this slave ship?" And the man just said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you what I did, but I definitely deserve to be here. I was very wrong." The king immediately shouted, "Guards, get these shackles off of this man. Get this man off this ship. All these other innocent people shouldn't have to put up this kind of wicked man around them." Listen, God has mercy if you will declare the truth about yourself, if you will be open and honest before God. I'll finish with this, Proverbs 16:6. Love it. Proverbs 16:6. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Get that sin out. How do you do that? Open. "God, here I am." You'll have sin purged out of your life when you're honest. Let's have every head bowed.